We've been taught that the birthplace of the human race is Earth, but it's not.
Hello and welcome to episode 52 of Popcorn and Prosecco, a show that's all about talking about movies. I'm Perry Nemiroff, and here are my co-hosts, Christy Pechko and Angie Han.
Hey, everybody.
Hello.
This time around, we are talking about a special Leica auction preview that some of us got to attend this week. Then we're going to do our big review, which is Jupiter Ascending, and then we are going to wrap up with our caption contest. So let's kick it off with Leica, and Christy, you're going to talk a bit about that.
Yeah, so Leica is having a historical event right now, which is basically they've gone to Heritage Auctions, which I have the book here. There we are. And Heritage Auctions is actually an auction house. It's like one of the biggest in the world, and they're very specialized in doing a lot of movie and animation stuff. And Leica has opened up their archives, and they're selling like actual puppets from their movies. So this means Coraline, this means Box Trolls, this means Paranorman, and it's everything from concept art to the actual puppets to set pieces. It's a huge auction of over more than 250 items. And Perry and I got to go on Monday and check out some of the pieces that are sitting here in New York. The official auction starts on the 12th, but if you go online at heritageauctions.com, or actually it's AHA.com, very simple, you can peruse everything. And I have been obsessively and placing bids, and I don't think I'm going to win anything.
Problem. Do you know what I want if I could have my dream pick? Can you see it?
I want that so bad, but it's already
for like it's a Box Trolls lineup, and it's got all these different characters, and it's like I guess all of them were in the film, but it's like all different like types of Box Trolls that maybe you didn't see, and I love those characters, and I love how creative they were with
if
it.
I had my pick,
I'd like that.
If I had my pick, I would go with this, which is the actual nude fish puppet. It's just so funny.
I would pick that.
I would love that. But the thing is. I talked to the guy who set up the auction, Jim Lenz, and he was really excited and very cool to talk to. And you can read all about my conversation with him on Mental Floss. But he was talking about how the auction is for everyone and there's something for everyone's price point. But I feel like there should be a little asterisk about that because it's more like for collector price points. Like he thinks that the smaller items and some of the kind of more concept art stuff might go for, like he said, a couple of hundred dollars, which is still a lot of money.
I think he got thrown off by the fact that when everything goes up on the site, it all starts at a dollar. So you're
He knows the deal. I think it's
the way he described it, like he legit said to me, it'd be like it's a cost-effective auction where everybody can participate.
Well, everybody can participate, not everybody.
$200 for something that is non-essential is not everybody, but I mean, it's still close enough that if you are not completely broke, I guess, and you really want something, you could maybe go for it. But all right, be
as
honest.
As much
guys,
as I want a Box Trolls prop, I could think about a lot of other places.
But that's the thing.
$200.
That's the thing, though. This isn't for like you know. This isn't like, and I love the Funko Pop, but it's not like Funko Pop where there's a bunch of them. So like you know, it's more expensive because it's like if you buy that concept art, you are the only one who owns that concept art. This isn't reproductions. This isn't you know lithographs. This is legit, the thing, you're buying an actual piece of animation history, and considering how special Leica is, it's kind of incredible. Like, you could actually buy these puppets. Like, I just find that really astonishing and exciting, but, like, he said he estimates the puppets will go for, like, maybe $10,000 a piece, maybe?
Whoa.
A lot of the items that they had on display at the auction preview, they all had, like, estimates of at least, like, $2,500 on them. Like, posters were going for $2,500.
But that was actually, the reason the poster, though, was that those posters, which are online, they were Box Trolls posters, were concept art posters that the company had decided against. So there are no posters like that in the world except for these ones. They were like one prototype, and that's it. So that's why that was like 20.
My problem is just that I'm bitter that I'm not going to be able to afford a single thing on this website. But I'm still going to stalk every single lot that I want nonstop until this thing wraps up.
Sure. And I get that. But what I think is cool about it is that not only can you go and look at these things in person at the auction houses, but it's actually all online. It's all really easy to look at. And if you do go to the auction house, though, which I recommend, you can get one of these books, and they're free because that's how auction houses work. And I felt like I was running away with something. But it's just it's so full of cool stuff, and like Perry kind of pointed out that like you could frame stuff in this book if you're not inclined to bid on it. But the auction's really cool, and I recommend that like even if you can't afford anything at it, check out the website because it is just gravy for people who love Leica.
And if you guys actually manage to win something, you're going to show it off in a future episode, right?
Yeah.
Seriously, yeah. If that happens, I will definitely do it.
I bid on some stuff. I just don't think my chances.
I won a prop in a prop auction once, and you know what it is? It's Deputy Dewey's name tag from Scream 4, and I got it for $150.
See, so you paid a fair amount for something.
I did. I got a little crazy with that because it was Scream and because it's Dewey's namesake, so I made an exception.
Yeah, that's kind of like, I have some concept art that I have my eye on that I'm like, maybe I'd pay like $200 for that. Maybe.
Well, the auction is when? On February 13th? So
The 12th.
So next week, right? We'll be able to tell next everybody Thursday. if we won something. All right. Yeah. All right.
Stay tuned.
On to our big review of the week. It is Jupiter Ascending. Angie, go describe this one.
Oh, luckily it's not on me to describe it because we have a handy dandy official synopsis. Jupiter Jones was born under a night sky with signs predicting that she was destined for great things. Now grown, Jupiter dreams of the stars, but wakes up to the cold reality of a job cleaning toilets and an endless run of bad breaks. Only when Kane, a genetically engineered ex-military hunter, arrives on Earth to track her down, does Jupiter begin to glimpse the fate that has been waiting for her all along. Her genetic signature marks her as next in line for an extraordinary inheritance that could alter the balance of the cosmos. I think it's a pretty good synopsis for this movie because this movie is bonkers. This was my face, like, when I, like, walked out of theater, I was just like...
Because you a couple of times during this movie doubled over.
Oh my goodness.
And I was, like, concerned for you.
I mean, the Wachowskis, like, I kind of knew that this was going to be... I suspected it was going to be a mess, and it was. It was a complete mess, but it was a glorious mess. It was a, like, we fucking, like, swung for the fences kind of mess. Like, it was like, we dreamt big, we stuffed everything we wanted to do, we did whatever the fuck we want, we gave no fucks, it's all in here, and the result is just, like, there are some things about this that are genuinely amazing, there are some things about it that are, like, really just, like, what the fuck were you even thinking, and then there are just some things where I'm just, like, I don't even know, but, wow, what...
What's interesting is this movie is getting horrible reviews. Like, it's right now 27% on Rotten Tomatoes, and I feel like that's really unfair because, as Angie points out, like, it's a mess of a movie. Like, narratively, there's a lot of stuff that's introduced that goes nowhere. Characters just vanish. There's a lot of world building that seems kind of inessential or silly. But it's really fun. Like, for me, the greatest sin a movie can commit is being boring. And Jupiter Ascending is never boring.
I think it's that if boring. You are assessing Jupiter Ascending as, like a from a quality perspective, it deserves that 27%. But if you are approaching it from entertainment, for entertainment purposes only, it's totally fine. And it's fun. It's like an ultimate best worst movie because you enjoy it for all the wrong reasons. I mean, half the fun I had in this movie is laughing at Eddie Redmayne's performance. And I genuinely enjoyed laughing at it, but that's not probably what their intentions were.
For those who haven't seen it yet, Eddie Redmayne plays, like, basically a plantation owner, but like an intergalactic plantation owner. But close he enough. Does it in this weird, like, lizard way where he talks like this for most of the movie, except for key lines, which
that's
I won't.
That's not even intense enough. He legit whispers. I mean, like, at the, like,
it's like a weird, like, whisper scream.
Well, yeah, it's like.
He'll, like, whisper where you can barely hear it, and then all of a sudden he'll, like, shout something, and the whole theater will erupt. It was great.
Because it's, like, not even shouting. It's, like, full-on screaming out of nowhere, where someone's like, "We'll do what you say, sir." And then he just screams go, which I won't recreate because I will blow out the eardrums of my co-host. Just, but there's a gif of it that's amazing that's just like him being like...
Oh, just yeah. Like,
well, where is this gif? I must have it.
I might cut it in later. But Max shared it on Twitter, so thanks to Max about for that. But yeah, he's bonkers in this. Like, that's the thing. I don't know. I have a hard time with the Wachowskis because I appreciate Wachowskis that I appreciate that they, I appreciate that they, Glenn Dunks actually, who's a writer we know, he said that their greatest curse and their greatest success is that they are 100% sincere. And I feel like if this movie realized it was ridiculous, it would be getting better reviews. but it wholeheartedly goes with what it is. And you know what? It is an entirely original sci-fi movie that is based on nothing, that builds a complete universe that is interesting and reminded me of a lot of things. Like, it kind of feels like a cocktail that took every sci-fi influence ever and shook it up. And, like, if this is the first sci-fi movie you've ever seen, I think you would be, like, really well-versed on a lot of things about sci-fi. And, like, I know that my 13-year-old self would have adored this movie. It doesn't make it good, but it's really entertaining, and it makes some really interesting choices, including, like, rocket roller skates.
Well, I mean, I feel like the thing about this movie for me is, like, there are some things about this that are genuinely stunning. Like, some of the visuals, like, some of the individual scenes.
The spaceships,
like,
are beautiful.
Yeah, no, they're, so I feel like the highs are very, very high, but the lows are pretty low, and I feel like the thing that's really damning this movie is that it's a glorious spectacle. It's, you know, they're always throwing things at you. It's really ambitious and original, but where it kind of falls apart is at the most basic level, which is that the narrative is kind of boring, doesn't really make any sense. There's very little emotional resonance. Like, I never really felt
Jupiter
for the characters
as a character
or cared
sucks.
About them, or, like, even felt like I knew them that well. So I feel like from a storytelling perspective, this movie just kind of falls apart, and I kind of feel like that's a big part of why it's getting so, like, panned by critics.
Jupiter doesn't really do anything, which is a pretty major
She's
problem.
Very passive,
it's like,
yeah.
she is just born with this right to whatever throne or whatever title it's called, and she just gets kind of, like, pushed along through these weird worlds and ships and everything, and, you know, Cain is there to take care of her and everything and kind of advise her, but she doesn't really make very many decisions on her own, and the one decision she does make on her own is flat out freaking stupid.
Yeah. She's very dumb. She goes from, like, it's bizarre how trusting the protagonist is, and, like, how often this puts her in situations where, like, then she's, like, completely screwed and, like, someone has to, like, swoop in and save her. And, like,
and especially because the plot begins with her almost being murdered. So, like, she should be on her guard. And also, they say that part of her character is that she expects the worst out of everyone. But then we never see that. Every time anyone tells her anything, she's like, oh, yes, go on.
Also,
and it's, like,
pretty disappointing that that beginning had nothing to do, really, with the rest of the movie.
Yeah, there's, like, the first 10 minutes is, it's very Winter's Tale. We were like, what the fuck did we just watch this
for? It's
funny,
you said something before that made me think, like, back to Winter's Tale. You were essentially describing Winter's Tale, where it's, like, the filmmakers and everyone who's involved, like, their hearts are totally in it. It's just, like, not
it's
right.
It's ambitious,
I had a big problem with the fact that there was so much in it, too. Like, there were lots of fun little elements that I enjoyed, but I almost couldn't appreciate the ships because there were so many of them, and I couldn't figure out, like, the geography of them, which one was good, which one was bad. It wasn't until we got inside or, like, music cued it that you really understood what it was and what it was capable of. So that was kind of sloppy for me. And also, like, the portals, like, never really understood where, like, Eddie Redmayne existed and where his brother and his sister were.
Yeah, I got confused about that, too, because at one point I was like, wait, are we on a planet or a ship? What is happening? Like, there's parts like that that are genuinely confusing. Or, like, some character would pop up and we hadn't seen them in, like, a half an hour, so I was like, wait, whose crony is that again? There's definitely elements like that, and also, because some characters just disappear, like, my husband and I were talking on the way home, and we're pretty convinced there were, like, 40 minutes of this movie that just hit the cutting room floor, because it feels incomplete. But, like, even with all that, I had a really good time with this movie. I do think that it's kind of interesting, because I feel like it's the first sci-fi rom-com epic I've ever seen, because January Jones is 100% a dopey rom-com character. Like, Katherine Heigl would play her in a less expensive version of this movie.
You definitely just called her January Jones.
Her name is Jupiter Jones, which is slightly more or less stupid a name. I don't know. Yeah, I'm sorry. Anyway, but Jupiter Jones, which, by the way, every time they say Jupiter Jones, it gets a laugh because it's that ridiculous a name. And then at one point she says, call me Jupe. Well, I was like, no one should call her Jupe. But
she,
like,
says this to, like, a fucking, like, space king or something, too. It's so
weird.
I don't
even think anyone had called her that in the entire movie.
Well, like, but my point was, Jupiter Jones is a character who doesn't like the way her life is going, isn't happy with her job, is unlucky in love, though she just says that. We never really see that in action. She's
see?
Just like,
again,
always
it's
pick the wrong
storytelling
guys.
That they can't really seem to nail. Like,
yeah.
But most importantly, fantastic visuals and spectacles, that they can do.
most importantly, something near and dear to Angie and I in the rom-com genre is that she falls down all the goddamn time. She falls. And it's funny because I was like, oh, it's called Jupiter Ascending, but Jupiter's always falling down. Like, literally
should
every
have
other
called
sequence.
Jupiter Descending. Yeah.
Well, it's because they're in space and they fly, so there's more opportunities to fall.
But there's, like, so kind much zero ish. Gravity, and yet she's always falling.
Somehow.
Anyway. But
well,
I mean, like,
I was all excited to point this out and look up this actress's name, and of course I can't find it anywhere because I don't know her character's name. That was another problem with this movie, is that, like, at the end of the movie, I asked you guys if you could name five characters in this movie, and it was a little difficult. But
and then we tried, and you got mad because you said we were doing it together, and that wasn't fair.
Because it was cheating. It was a bet. Anyway, my favorite character in this movie was, so Kane has, like, I guess it's a group of people that he was associated with prior to the events of the movie. I don't really know, actually.
I don't know. It's
but
very unclear.
Founder.
He's got, like, a motley crew of, like, spaceship people, and they all fly together. It's kind of like a Star Trek crew, and the commander of that crew was just, like, the most badass, coolest character in this entire movie, and it was just awesome, because, like, you knew exactly what she was about. She was so serious. You looked at her and you, like, trusted her that she knew what she had to do to win the mission, and I was a big fan of her. What's her name?
I put it in the chat. Nikki Amuka Bird.
Okay, well, if that's how you pronounce it, Nikki Amuka Bird, you're the shit in this movie, and you're awesome.
Oh, that's where I know her from. She was in Luther.
Oh.
Yeah,
you guys need to watch
help.
Luther. Anyway, but yeah, she was actually somebody I wanted to see more of, because where we had some kind of haphazard characters, like Sean Bean pops up and does his Sean Bean thing where he's like, I'm a tough, angry warrior about things, you know. He didn't really have too much to do, but then you had this character who didn't have that much to do but was really interesting because she kind of kept it down no matter what was going on, and she was, like, engaged and had, like, a personality. Like, that was really rad.
Also the other people on the ship, too. I think it was just fun that everyone had their place. Like, it was almost, like, a little stereotypical, but I just felt so comfortable in that world, and I understood how it works and what everyone was responsible for.
Mm-hmm. I also like there's, like, a section where Jupiter has to basically go to the intergalactic DMV, and it is a scene that the movie absolutely does not need, but I thought it was really funny, so I also didn't care
it's
that
it's also
feels
a Terry Gilliam inspired scene, and that is
where he's there
near and dear to Christie's heart.
Which is true. It was funny because I was like, this is the most Terry Gilliam, like, homage to ever Terry Gilliam. And then I was like, oh, and that is actually Terry Gilliam on screen, which I remembered, like, as I was watching it, that he has a cameo and I had forgotten about. And then I was like, oh, yep, there he is.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, the movie is not as overt about its references all the time. But, like, as you said, there's, like, everything smashed in here. I don't know. I mean, ultimately, like, we've been talking a lot about what we didn't like about it and what's wrong with it and its flaws. I think the key to enjoying this movie is just to kind of accept it, to just kind of go with it. Do what Jupiter does and just kind of be like, okay, sure. Yeah, now she can control bees,
exactly.
And now, like, I'm, like, in a fancy dress, and these old people are turning young, and sure, why the fuck not? I think that's the key to enjoying this movie.
And just go with friends, have a drink, see it with a packed house, because, like, even though everybody was laughing at the movie, it's fun to have that communal
laugh
together.
Somehow both with and at the movie. I genuinely admire it. I genuinely think there are things about this that are great.
Like, I love dogs as a joke.
What?
I love dogs as a joke.
I'm not defending the I love dogs line, but I'm saying there are parts of this that are genuinely good.
And I think, like, you know, I mean, my advice would be this. In line with my co-host, if you can just accept that bees know when people are royalty,
as
you
they
can
do.
Enjoy this movie.
That scene made me really uncomfortable. You guys do know what my second fear is, next to dentists.
I'm going to guess bees?
It's bees. And, like, I mean, maybe it was because the movie was in 3D, but, like, during that whole sequence, there was constantly, like, it was very, you know, it makes you feel like things are, like, zipping in front of your face, and there's that constant buzzing, and I was just, like, I was squirming in my seat for, like, 15 minutes. I couldn't wait for that scene to be over.
Aww.
All right, so I think the three of us are actually all recommending a movie that has a 27% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I'd say so.
Yeah.
I'm recommending it, but, you know, with the caveat that know what you're getting into and just go with it. That's the only way that you're going to have any fun with it. Don't try to be too logical about this movie.
Yeah, this movie means really well, and if you like the Wachowski level of spectacle, you totally get that. This looks like a movie that cost as much, like, $200 million. It looks like that. It's fun, it's exciting, and
I
know,
actually enjoyed it also insanely more than Cloud Atlas.
I actually like Cloud Atlas, even though it's
like
another
Cloud
movie
Atlas.
I think it's very, very flawed. I don't know. Yeah. I just feel like every time they fail, it's at least like an interesting, very heartfelt, kind of like, you know,
go big or go home.
Yeah, exactly.
Go big or go home. And the That's Wachowskis their approach.
I don't know who continues to give them money even though all their movies flop, but, you know, good on them. And anyway, we should probably move on.
To caption contest time. So, first off, we are going to start with our winner from last week, which was the Fantastic Four picture. And the winner is Joel Arnold, who you could find on Twitter at Joel K. Arnold. And his quote was, "Just like the old gypsy woman said," which I don't get because apparently it's an Archer reference, but Christy and Angie love it. Sorry, Joel.
I think that even without context, that's funny.
I think it's funny even if you don't know. The first time I saw it, I didn't pick up right away that it was an Archer reference, and I thought it was just funny because it's just, I feel like it's just a funny thing to say in any weird situation that you're in. Like, if you find yourself controlling space bees.
Yeah.
You know? Just like the old gypsy woman said.
That's kind of fair. Job well done, Joel. All right, so this week we are going to do a very special picture because this is our year anniversary. We've been recording Popcorn and Prosecco for a year now, and if you've been keeping up with the show, you know that Winter's Tale is near and dear to our hearts. So we are going to share a picture from our big trip to what was that place called?
Winter's Tale House.
Winter's Tale House.
That's the relevant portion.
All right, Winter's Tale House. So, la-da-da-da-da-da-da, picture goes here. So, you know what to do. Submit your quote by tweeting at us at Popcorn Prosecco. Send them in, we'll pick a winner, and then our winner will come up in this beautiful podcast next week, and you will get a shout-out, and people will maybe follow you on Twitter. Who knows? So that's a wrap on episode 52 of Popcorn and Prosecco. You can catch us all over the place, obviously, like we just said, on Twitter at Popcorn Prosecco. We are on Facebook. We have our own site there, so like us because that's really cool. Also, go and comment and rate, review, whatever they call it, on iTunes because that is also very helpful. Visit our website, popcornprosecco.com. Visit us on YouTube, all that good stuff, and find all of us on the web as well. Angie, you want to go first?
You can find me on Twitter at AJHAN, and I write for slashfilm.com.
Christy?
And I'm at Christy Puchko on Twitter, and you can find me all over the web, but I collect the highlights of my writing at decadentcriminals.com.
And you can catch me on Twitter at PNemiroff, and I write for collider.com. So, that's it for this week, and we'll see you next time.
I will harvest that planet tomorrow before I let her take it from me.